Hello and welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. I'm Pastor Kylie Oaks Gatewood, and happy Tuesday. Yesterday we started a study on soul control, winning the battlefield of your mind. I'm here with my cousin Jared Houle.
Shalom, shalom.
Thank you. Welcome to Mimi's office.
Welcome.
We have been granted the honor and the privilege to substitute for her this week. And it is our honor because we really have something that we're both very passionate about. As I mentioned yesterday, and I'm not bragging, but Jared and I were probably the two in the family that has had the most opportunity to rebel. And we took that opportunity quite greatly. I found myself, just as a quick recap, I found myself in my mid-20s, a Rhema Bible Training Center graduate, and I was dealing with some major mind issues. You're like, wait, time out. You're Billy Brim's granddaughter. You went to Rhema. You know, life should be good. You should be starting your ministry and going all over the world. Yeah, that would have been awesome, except for the devil lies. And I accepted his lies as truth in my mind over a process of time. I became an alcoholic, had three unsuccessful suicide attempts, and life was not all a ball of cherries, and I didn't know what to do. I finally hit bottom when I became homeless.
How long were you in that situation?
I was homeless about 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
Which doesn't seem like a long time.
But there's
time.
A process of getting there and there's a process of getting out, so it's a long time.
It was a long time, okay. And probably over the course of the whole process of start going downhill,
right,
to hitting bottom.
Yeah.
That was about a year and a half.
Okay.
And it started very small. We talked yesterday about in Ephesians chapter 6 that the devil throws the fiery darts of the wicked one, as it's called in Ephesians. And one of my teachers at Rhema, Mr. Doug Jones, he and his book, He submits that those fiery darts of the enemy are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions then try to enter the doorway of your life through your mind. Once you accept those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions as truth, then they start to have a little bit of control over you.
Like fire, like a forest fire.
Exactly. And then eventually, slowly, you begin to lose control.
Yeah.
You are no longer in control. And, you know, it's like you're a fish on a fishing line. And you're being reeled in, but it's like you're stuck. And I'm sure that there are some people out there that are listening to this today that can say amen to that, and you're even there, and that we want to help you today. Guess what? There's good news. Freedom is yours in Jesus' name. Andrew Murray said, "For the enjoyment of this blessing, nothing is necessary except faith in the blood. The blood of Jesus has done everything." And it was the blood of Jesus that got me out of that situation. I know it was the blood of Jesus that got Jared out of the situation without us actually killing ourselves and doing something very crazy.
And what I love about that quote by Andrew Murray, he's like my favorite guy of all time. But that statement says it's not based upon any work. It's not based upon any feelings. And I've heard Brother Hagin say so many times, he's like, sometimes my flesh likes faith, sometimes it doesn't.
Right?
That's everyone. But you know what? This is the one time I do like faith.
I know.
It's in prayer, and especially like who you are in Christ. It's
yes.
not a feeling.
It's not a
but
feeling.
But eventually, the feeling of who you are will come.
It does.
But it's so good. It's on the blood. Uh-huh. Even if you don't feel like you believe, if you you just say, I believe it.
I believe it, Lord. I receive what you've done in the blood. So I was telling my story it wasn't like I got a, you know, flash of lightning or anything, and all of a sudden I was redeemed from every evil thought that ever tried to pierce my brain, and I never wanted to, you know, kill myself again. No, it wasn't like that.
Right.
There were days when the thought came 200 times a day and more, and I would be in different, very embarrassing places, like the peanut butter aisle at Walmart, and I would have, that thought would come. But I knew I couldn't fight a thought with a thought.
Yeah, that's good.
I had to fight a thought with a word. So I dared to embarrass myself because I dared to be free. I wanted to be free. And I had faith in the blood of Jesus. I really did. So I would put my hands over my head every single time. Kylie, are you saying you did it to up to 200 times, up to 300 times a day? I promise you on the word of God, I had to do it up to this time. And daily, it would go down, it would go down, it would go down. So anyway, I would put my hands on my head. I'd say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. I only think thoughts of life. I never think thoughts of death. And I would say, thank you, Lord. And I would go on. And then peace would come. It's amazing how peace follows the word of God.
Right.
And it reminds me now of the scripture in Isaiah chapter 26. And if you're in your car, don't text. But just remember, if you're somewhere, you can write it down. I'm sure you're familiar with this scripture. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts thee. So I'm going to hop over to the Amplified. I have a side-by-side Bible. It says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect, constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. Now, let's break it down, because obviously, this is in the Old Testament. Obviously, it was not written in English. So we're going to break it down in the Hebrew. He will guard. That word guard, that word is the same as keep, which we saw in the King James. Now, the first thing I thought of whenever I saw the word guard was, remember in Genesis chapter 2, the first thing that God told Adam, that's the guy.
Yeah.
The first thing God told Adam to do in the garden was dress and keep it.
Right.
What did he tell him to do? He said, guard your garden. Why? Because he knew external things were going to try to come in and mess up the garden. So God told Adam to guard it. Now God is saying, I will guard you. I will guard the person and keep him in perfect peace. Right. Now, perfect, the word perfect here. If you know anything about, if you've ever listened to Mimi's broadcast ever before, which I'm sure all of you have, the word perfect here is actually the word shalom. Now, peace, we know that's the next word. And we obviously know that that's going to be the word shalom. But the word perfect in front of it is also the word shalom. What's shalom mean? It means nothing missing and nothing broken. Literally, it means well, happy, prosperous, wealthy. Okay.
So spiritually, spiritually and physically.
But he didn't just say it once, Jared. He says it twice. Yeah. He said, I will keep him. I will guard him. I will protect him. In shalom, shalom.
Well,
doubled up.
Well, what's interesting, I was just reading this in the Shumash, which is the, I don't know if I said it right, Mimi, I'm sorry, but it's the, like a, it's the Jews version.
It's the Jewish commentary.
And in Hebrew to English, it says Hashem will. Hashem will. Yes. Well, Hashem is, they don't know the name of God.
Right.
So that's the most personal name that, it's prophetic.
Right.
It's the most personal name that the Lord could have him say. So he puts it on him. He's like, my name, the closest being, like Hashem.
Yes.
You know, that.
The creator.
Hashem. I noticed, I was like, this isn't in my English. It's like, Hashem will keep you. Hashem will. I'm like, if God's putting it on himself.
Yes.
You know.
He is the keeper.
Right.
And he doubled up. I will make you doubly well. I will make you doubly happy. I will make you doubly prosperous. I'll make you doubly wealthy. I'll make you doubly full of peace. If your mind, that thing that we've been talking about the past 2 days, is stayed on him. Why? Because we trust him. We can keep our mind on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's trust? Faith, right? So when we have faith in the blood, faith in his name, faith in who he is, we know that he is going to take care of us.
Oh, yeah. What people understand is this is a prophetic of Jesus.
Right.
This is what he did. Jesus did this as a man.
Mm-hmm. He did.
As we are. But it's amazing to think he read this and he did this.
Jesus did read this.
He read this, and it's a and they're saying this is about, they don't, they say Jesus, they say the Messiah.
That's good.
But
It is. That's very true. Hey, I'm going to continue reading. You said, you will guard him and keep him in perfect peace, or shalom, shalom. That's doubly nothing missing, nothing broken. Whose mind, both his inclination and its character. Now, in the Hebrew, this word mind is not your brain. This word mind means framework. And it means imagination.
Oh, that's good.
So I will keep you in perfect peace whose imagination is stayed upon me. And the framework of your mind. Did you ever make GAC as a kid?
Yeah, I think everyone. Okay. In the 90s, everyone
made GAC. Now, for all of you other listeners that were not brought up in the 90s, it's made out of Elmer's glue and borax. And basically what it is, it looks like slime, but if you squeeze it, it becomes a hard substance and it'll stay, as long as you're squeezing it, it'll stay hard. But as soon as you relax your hands and just allow it to sit in the middle of your hand, it starts to run.
It's gooey.
Kind of gooey. It's like slime. It starts to run through your fingers. Well, when I was reading this one day, and obviously the Holy Ghost knows about GAC, because that's the first thing I thought of. He said, I will keep you whose mind is stayed on me.
That's good.
The framework of my hands when I'm holding GAC.
That's good, Kai.
That holds that substance together. Whenever I let that substance go and I get lazy with the pressure I'm putting around it, it starts to run away. It starts to do its own thing. So he said, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. Now, pressure can do two things, depending on if it's good pressure or bad pressure. Good pressure, like I'm speaking to you right now. I'm telling you that you cannot have anger outbursts. My daddy thought he was German. He thought he was German. And he bragged about being German. Why? Because it gave him an excuse to have an anger problem. He said, oh, it's just my German anger. It's just the German anger. Well, we found out later after he went to heaven, he wasn't German at all. He was actually English. And so he couldn't blame it on that anymore. But he passed down this anger thing. And it tried to attach itself to me. But then in the middle, I mean, I'm telling you, I get so angry. And the devil would make me this way. Jared, I'm ashamed to admit it. I threw things. And not only did I throw things.
Not you.
Me. I did not have control over my anger.
Once you kind of gave into it.
I just lost it. And so tomorrow we're going to talk about how the Holy Ghost gave me a key through this verse on how to control an anger. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. Especially if you have an anger problem or know someone who does. But I just wanted to remind you of what our offer is this week. It is Mastering the Silence by Doug Jones. Normally it's $9. We're selling it for $5 plus shipping and handling. You can get it by calling 800-972-3447. Again, that's 1-800-972-3447, or going to billybrim.org. Again, this is Kylie Oaks Gatewood and Jared Hull on the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. Remember, if you miss a broadcast, you can listen online at billybrim.org.